All right. So you're punching above your weight class anyway, Leslie. So we're happy for you today. All right. Okay. We're going to continue our series we started last week called Questions. Last week, we asked the question, why do we go swimming in church? What is baptism all about? And we sort of answered that question. Why do we get baptized? Because it's not something you would do anywhere else in your life, all right? It's the one place this would happen is among a group of believers in Christ, right? So today, I want to try to answer this question. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? We often talk about that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. But what does that actually look like in real life, in your life? What happens when I believe, all right? So I want to start with this. There's a little girl that was on an airplane, and she's reading her Bible. She's reading Jonah. And a man in a business suit looked over and saw that she was reading her Bible, and he said, "You don't really believe that, do you?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "You really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale?" And she said, "Sir, the Bible says he was swallowed by a big fish, not a whale." And he said, "Okay, you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish?" And she said, "I sure do." And he's still pushing, and he said, "So you think Jonah's going to be in heaven?" And she said, "I sure do." And he said, "Well, how will you know?" And she said, "When I get there, I'll know." And the man said, "Well, what if he's not there?" She said, "Then you can find out where he's at." All right? Whew. All right. Don't use that as a soul-winning tactic, all right? Just don't do that. But here's the deal. If you're going to believe it, you got to believe it. There's none of this halfway believing something, right? The word believe occurs numerous times throughout the Bible. It's 90 times in the book of John. It's 40 times in the book of Acts. We have people in Acts that will say, "I believed in Christ." The Ethiopian told Philip, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Those kind of statements are throughout the Bible. I believe, I believe, I believe. Now, what does that look like in your life and what mine? Now, the modern concept of the word believe is kind of like the word love. We can say, "I love pizza," or "I love my wife." Hopefully those are two different things, right? I mean, hopefully we understand the nuance of that. Believe is kind of the same thing. I believe I can be there by 5 o'clock, no problem. I believe Taco Bell is better than Taco Casa, which is not true, but you can believe it, right? It is not true, all right? I believe. We use this word so loosely. I believe in this and I believe in that. I believe the Cowboys are going to have a good season. How many of you have been saying that? Yeah, you said it last year too. I did too. All right. We can believe anything we want to believe. So this modern concept of believing is different than it was in the Bible. All right. So what does believe mean in the Bible? Well, let's start with John 3:16. We all know this. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So this is the sort of the center of the wheel when it comes to Scripture, right? If I ask, what's your favorite Scripture? Most people would say this, or at least this would be somewhere at the top of your list. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever," me and you, "whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." If we believe. So he just is showing us, gives us a glimpse of what our salvation looks like. Well, let's jump to Ephesians chapter 2. This one is important for all of us. Verses 8 and 9. "God saved you by his grace when you believed." God saved you by his grace. The word grace means the unmerited or unearned or undeserved favor of God. It's like God loves you in spite of who you are. That's what grace is all about. So God saved you by his grace when you believed. All right? And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. So salvation in both of these scriptures is free to everybody. Every one of us gets salvation for free. All we have to do is believe. As a matter of fact, it's so free that the Bible says you can't brag about it because you didn't have anything to do with it. All you did was believe. Now, it's important that we believe, right? We know this. For many people, believing is just accepting a fact as true. If I said to you, 2 + 2 = 4, unless you're one of those people on Facebook that's just mad at everybody. 2 + 2 = 4 anywhere you go. Everywhere you go. We can all agree that that is true. And some of us approach the Bible the same way. Okay, Jesus died, he was buried, he rose from the dead. 2 + 2 = 4. He is our Savior. Now, this is important. And knowing that Jesus died and rose from the dead, though, doesn't change my life. I know 2 + 2 = 4, but unless something else goes with that, it doesn't change my life. I know who Jesus is. I know he died for me. Even the demons, the Bible said, believed. Now, this is important stuff. Well, look at this next scripture, James 2:19. You say you have faith. He said, you believe that there is one God. Good for you. I love the New Living Translation. Good for you. It's like, all right, you're at zero right now. All right, you believe. Even the demons believe this, and they trembled in terror. So believing 2 + 2 = 4 is not enough. There has to be something else that is a part of this equation. And when we start talking about this, though, and we start adding things like obedience to this, it makes people nervous. Because then it sounds like we're claiming that you got to do something to be saved. And that's a fair point. Because you don't have to do something to be saved. All you have to do is believe. Now, there's a huge difference in Christianity and most other world religions. The difference is this. In most other world religions, you have to earn it. In Christianity, it's given to you freely. So we don't want to change that. Because that's the truth. We don't even want to fight that because that is what makes this different. That's what makes the grace of God different than anything else you will find anywhere in the world. It's not about what you're bringing to the table. It's about what God is bringing to the table. But we don't want to just say, okay, I know Jesus died for me. I can be a murderer and say, look, I was raised in church. I know the truth. I'm going to kill everybody in this place. That would be terrible. Now, that person obviously is not on the same path as someone who says, I believe, and now I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do what he's calling me to do. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, so none of us can boast about it. All right, so this word believe, second line, first word, when you believed, has a little bit of a different meaning than the way we use it. We just listed all the silly ways we use the word believe. This word believe is really interpreted to mean trust, confidence, fidelity, loyalty, faithfulness. It says, I believe this so deeply that I'm going to give my whole life to it. Now, this is important. I believe this so deeply that I'm giving everything I have to it. There's a great story about a guy named Charles Blondin. I've told you this story years ago. He was a tightrope walker, and he stretched a rope across Niagara Falls. He's 160 feet high, and he goes across. He walks across, tightrope walking, all the way across. He took a bike across one time. He did it in the dark one time. He did it blindfolded one time. He did it with a wheelbarrow one time. He shows up with the wheelbarrow on the side, and he does the big ta-da, I did it thing. And they are all saying, woo, you're the greatest, woo-hoo. And he said, how many of you believe that I could put somebody in the wheelbarrow and take them to the other side? And they all just said, yes. And he said, who's volunteering? And it got deathly quiet. I believe you can do it, but not enough to put my life on the line for that. Now, here's what he's saying. God saved you by his grace when you believed, when you said, I believe this so much that I'll get in the wheelbarrow. I'm going with you no matter where you go. I'm not standing over here by myself. It feels safer over here. But by faith, I'm going with you. I want this, my relationship with you, Lord, to change my life. I don't want to be the same person I once was. I want to get rid of all those hurts and habits and hang-ups. I want to get rid of all the things that are messing my... I want to get rid of these sins. I want my life... I want to have a purpose. I know 2 + 2 = 4. I know Jesus died for me, but I'm willing to get in the wheelbarrow and go to the other side with him. I believe this so deeply is what he's asking you to do. He's asking us to step out in faith. I want to share this statement. Obedience is the natural outcome of our belief in Jesus. So I don't start off saying, God doesn't say, okay, get your life cleaned up and then you can come to me and I'll have a relationship with you. I'll let you in. No, no. He says, come to me, believe, but then something happens. Obedience is the natural outcome of our belief in Jesus. When I put my whole faith in Jesus, I just want to follow him. I want to go where he goes. I want to do what he does. I want my life to look different because he has changed me. 1 John 4:9 says this, we love because he first loved us. You know what he's saying? You don't know how to love anybody if you don't know Jesus. Because he's the one that created love. He is love. So we love, we do good things because he first loved us. It comes out of that relationship with Jesus. And then he says this in John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, listen, if I love my wife, nobody has to twist my arm to get me to go home tonight. You don't have to say, now here's what a good husband would do. All right, you ought to go home, and you ought to take care of some stuff around the house. No, if I love my wife, I want to go home. All right, if I love my kids, I will buy groceries. Nobody has to say, hey, buddy. If I love them, listen, it's a lot. I'm like, this is a lot of money. Eat this stuff slow, okay? All right, you can't eat all the chips tonight. All right. If I love them, I will naturally take responsibility for those things, right? Love brings about action. Belief brings about action. My life starts to look different. My life starts to change. I started off by saying, look, I got nothing to offer, Lord, and I'm just going to put my faith in you. I'm getting in the wheelbarrow. Take me wherever. Because I'm out here all by myself, and I'm ready for things to change. But then... when I start on this journey, obedience is just the natural progression. And I'm going to say something. Don't get mad at me, okay? If you believed and your life has never changed, you might need to ask yourself, did I really believe? Did I really put my faith in Christ? If nothing changed, we have to take a step back and say, did I really believe in Jesus? Did I really put my faith in God's word? Or did I just say it? 2 + 2 = 4. I'm good. Jesus died and he rose again. I'm good. No, no, no. He wants more than that. He wants more in a relationship with you and me. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when you were out there acting like a heathen, just away from God, not even worried about, that's this whole church, you know what I'm saying? Everybody here. When you were out there just away from God, you're like, I know, I ought to go to church. I know, Jesus died for me, I get it. He created you in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. God was preparing good stuff for you to do even when you were out there acting like the devil. He had good stuff for you to do. Was it the good stuff that saved you? No. What saved you? Belief. Faith in Jesus Christ. I believe. I'm hitching my wagon to him. I'm going wherever he goes. And obedience starts to come about. Life change starts to happen. The Bible tells us we are made brand new. Something in our life, we don't even get it. We're just like, I'm just not good. Your buddy's like, let's just go hang out at the bar tonight. You know, I'm good. I'm just going to stay home tonight. I don't need to. Your dealer's calling. You're like, no, man, I'm good. I'm happy at home this week. Everybody's like, he has lost his mind. And it's true because you did. You lost your old mind and you've been made brand new. Amen. If I fully believe, then I will fully trust God, and I will know that He has my best interest at heart. If I fully believe, then I will fully trust God, and I will say His plan for me is perfect. I will say He knows what is best for me. If I'm not fully trusting Him, fidelity means I'm with you to the end. You're my ride or die. We're going all the way. It's Thelma and Louise, Jesus. We need you. All the way. All right? I'm not getting off halfway. I believe because I need you. And our life starts to change. Now look, there's some things when we start to say, Jesus said, look, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right? If you love me, you're going to do this stuff. All right? It's not Him slapping you around. It's Him saying, love me. Love me. I love you. I loved you first so you could love everybody. And when we do that, we start that relationship with Him by believing, and we start moving closer to Him every single day. It's called discipleship. You're going to look back 6 months from you go, now and you're going, you know, I don't even do that stuff I used to do. I'm just reading my Bible more. I'm, you know, my wife says I'm nicer. Just you're going to have days, all right. You're going to have your days. It's okay. Just make sure they're not as low as they used to go and move forward in discipleship. Here's a simple test. Very simple test if you want to know if you're trying to earn your salvation. If I'm trying to earn my salvation through works, if I'm trying to do stuff to get God to love me, I'll ask this question. Is this all I have to do? If we're trying to earn it, we'll go, okay, I just want to, is this enough to keep me from falling into hell? I just want to make sure there's enough if I'm trying to do it myself. But if I'm asking, if I'm living in faithfulness to God, in true belief to God, I'm going to be asking, what else can I do, Lord? I'm going to quit worrying about trying to do just enough, and I'm just going to be all in with Jesus. I'm just going to say, Lord, I know what your word says. I'm learning it little by little by little by little, and I'm growing, and I'm seeing you work in my life. So when we pray here on Sunday mornings, the end of almost every service, I guess, we pray some form of, hey, if you want to know Jesus as your Savior, you have to admit that you sin. The Bible says you got to admit it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You got to admit it. If you don't own it, if you don't say it's my sin, you can never deal with it. The first thing you got to do is say, I am kind of messed up. I admit it. And then I got to believe in Jesus. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then the third thing it says that we got to confess Him as Lord. If we confess Him with our mouth, if we confess Him, if we say it, if we confess Him as our Lord, that starts our journey with the Lord. So we start that journey with God. Okay, so here's what we've just said. I believe. Woo, I don't go to hell today. Right? I've told you these stories before. When I was a kid, they preached on hell every Sunday. I got saved every Sunday till I was 19 years old. It's like, oh God, I don't know. They would say things like, if you die tonight on your way home. Like, man, that's just scary. I don't know. I'm not going to chance it. I'll be right there. Hold on. Keep that altar call going for a minute longer. And so I lived in fear that my relationship with God was on thin ice all the time. Like, I don't want to move too fast because I could fall through at any given minute. I mean, I know God's up there just waiting for me to mess up so He can thump me off the earth. It's that simple. And I lived with that fear. There was no assurance. And I remember when it became clear to me, God wants me on His side. He's got a place for me. He prepared good works for me to do before I even knew who he was. He's got a plan for my life. When we realize that, we're not living saying, am I doing enough? We're saying, Lord, what else can I do? What else can I do to grow? What else is going to make me a stronger believer? What's going to make me a better husband? What's going to make me a better father? What's going to make me a better leader at work? What's going to make me look more like Jesus? So we started with believing, being completely convinced, being loyal to the truth, convinced of the truth so much that we'll get in the wheelbarrow and go to the other side. Amen. All right, this is going to be a short message today. You're going to get out of here early. I want you to stand with me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something. I want you to take just a second. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I following Christ where he is leading? It's that simple. Am I following Christ where he is leading? Am I going where he's going? To believe, Lord, 2 + 2 = 4. I know you died on the cross. I know it. But I know there's more, Lord. I don't want to just stop at that. I want to follow you. Now, here's what will happen. We get overloaded. Look yourself in the mirror and you're like, well, I need to work on this area and that area and that area and that area. And it's overwhelming. And so what we do is we just throw up our hands and quit. I'm not even going to worry about it. We cross our fingers and we go, I hope God still loves me. He still loves you. So we don't have to worry about that. But as the old preacher said, he loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you like you are. He loves you so much that he's given you a book full of truth that sometimes hurts. The Bible said that God's word is like a sword. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts going and coming. It's not just, we don't just open the word and go, oh, I just feel so good. Just feel so good. Just love you, Jesus. Some days it's like that. Some days it's like, ouch. Man, I should have read a different chapter today. That one hurt. What is one area of your life or mine today where we go, all right, I know this is an area where I need some help. Now look, if you've been struggling with this for 10 years all by yourself, not telling anybody, and it's time to get some help. It's time to get some help. It's time to get some help. I've told you this before. I have an accountability partner that calls me and goes, how you doing spiritually? Are you struggling in this area of temptation or that area? Or what's going on? And I know that call is coming. Because remember I told you, this whole church is full of messed up people. Starting right up here. I know I need God's grace. I know left to my own devices, I'm going to make dumb choices. And instead of getting in the wheelbarrow and going to the other side with Jesus, I'm over here hanging out doing dumb stuff that is not going to get me closer to him. But when I get other people involved, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. God wants you to be healed. If you want to be forgiven, you go to God. If you want to be healed, you go to God's people. It's so important. Friday night's a great place to start. Right here at CR. That's a great place to start. Small groups are going to be starting back soon. You don't have to wait for that. Just find you a godly man, if you're a man, woman, if you're a woman. Find somebody that you can share it with, and it'll be the hardest thing you ever did. It'll be the hardest thing you ever did. Opening the closet door is hard. Like if I open this, somebody's going to know what a loser I am. Let me tell you, there's already been people in the same closet that want to help you turn on the light. Amen? So we believe, then God wants us to start walking in obedience, in freedom. So what is that one area of your life today that you say, here's an area that I really need to work on? It might be simple. It might be, I need to be nicer at home. I want don't know why I'm so grumpy all the time. I don't know why I don't do this, or I don't know why I do that. I don't know why I've allowed this area of temptation to guide my life instead of following God in a different way. What is that one thing? You believe you're on the right track, but what is it God wants to do? We're just going to pray. We're going to ask His help. And then we're going to go home this week and we're going to open our Bibles. If your Bible has dust on it, brush it off. He's still waiting there, all right? If you forgot where the Bible app is on your phone, just search it. It'll find it for you. Put it on the front page so you can read your Bible. Let God do something, all right? Here we go. Father, we just thank You today, God. We are unworthy. We are unworthy of Your grace. We know this. Lord, we don't have any reason to brag or boast because we didn't earn this. We didn't buy it. It's just a gift. All we had to do was say, we believe in You. Just follow You in confidence, Lord, that You have our best interest at heart. We pray for Your help in these areas of our life that we're struggling with. We've allowed to control things that we've allowed to control certain areas of our life. Lord, we want to be free. We just ask You for Your help, for courage. We ask for courage, Lord, to just step out and follow You and serve You. And Lord, get this stuff out of the dark that needs to be out of the dark and just let You have full reign in our life. Lord, we want to get in the wheelbarrow this morning. We want to do this Your way. And we trust You, and we thank You for what's coming. We stand on Your word and Your promises in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.